So today we are reading 10 to 7, chapter 5, text number 13. The chapter is entitled Prahlada Maharaja, the Saintly Son of Hiranyakashipu. Please chant responsibly. Saheshahatma svaparetya buddhibir. Saheshahatma svaparetya buddhibir. Durasteya nukramano nirupyate. Muhyantiya tvartmani veda vadino. Brahma dayuki shabhinati me mati. Sahesha atma svapareta buddhibir. Duratyam. Duratya nukramano nirupyate. Muhyantiya tvartmani veda vadino. Brahma dayuki shabhinati me mati. Sahesha atma svaparetya buddhibir. Duratya nukramano nirupyate. Muhyantiya tvartmani veda vadino. Brahma dayuki shabhinati me mati. Sahesha-atma svaparetya buddhibir. Duratyayo nukramano nirupyate. Muhyantiya tvartmani veda vadino. Brahmadayo kishabhinati me mati. Svaparetya buddhibir. Teya nukramano nirupyate. Brahmada yukhi shabhinati me mati. Sahesha atma svaparetya buddhibir. Nukramano nirupyate. Muhyantiya tvartmani veda vadino. Brahmada yukhi shabhinati me mati. Sahesha atma svaparetya buddhibir. Teya nukramano nirupyate. Sahesha atma svaparetya buddhibir. Soul situated in everyone's heart. Svapara, this is my own business, and that is someone else's. Iti, thus, abudibi, by those who have such bad intelligence. Duratyaya, very difficult to follow. Anukramanaha, whose devotional service nirupyate is ascertained by scriptures or the instructions of the spiritual master. Muhyanti, are bewildered. Yat, of whom? Vartmani, on the path. Vedavadinaha, the followers of Vedic instructions. Brahma Adayaha, the demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma. He, indeed, Eshaha, this one, Binati, changes, me, my, Matim, intelligence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Person who always think in terms of enemy and friend, are unable to ascertain the super soul within themselves. Not to speak of them, even such exalted persons as Lord Brahma, who are fully conversant with the Vedic literature, are sometimes bewildered in following the principles of devotional service. The same Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created this situation, has certainly given me the intelligence to take the side of your so-called enemies. That's Prahlada Maharaja speaking to his teachers. Purport. Prahlada Maharaja admitted friendly, my dear teachers, you wrongly think that Lord Vishnu is your enemy. But because he is favorable toward me, I understand that he is a friend of everyone. You may think that I have taken the side of your enemy, but factually he has bestowed a great favor upon me. So here Prahlada Maharaj answers the question of his teachers. What does the change in your intelligence come from? Why you are so different from your schoolmates? And the answer is given is here. He Esha Binati Mematim. That's him, Esha. That's the super soul who changed my intelligence. And the logic of this verse is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So let's analyze it. The first and second line. Sa esha atma svaparet abudbibir. The person who has faulty intelligence, abudibir. Budi means intelligence, right? And abudi means no intelligence, or as it said here, falsy intelligence. And a Buddhi bear is the person who has this falsy intelligence. What is the false of this intelligence? Svapara. Svapara means my own interest. Svapara. And if there is sva, means anya as well. Others, para, or interest as well, right? So here, Srila Prabhupada put, who thinks in terms of friends and enemies. This is a fault of this buddhi or abuddhi. By this, you cannot nirupyate, you cannot ascertain sa esha atma, the super soul who is inside. So this is exactly the topic of this verb. The intelligence to understand the Lord. What should be this intelligence? What are the advantages to have the intelligence to understand the Lord? And what are the disqualification of this intelligence which a disabled person to understand the Lord? And what is the meaning of this first statement of Prahlada Maharaj, that with this kind of intelligence you cannot understand the Lord? He says to demons, you think that Lord Vishnu is your enemy, but how do you know this? The people like you with faulty intelligence who think in terms of friends and enemy, they cannot ascertain the Vishnu who is Paramatma in the heart, right? Then how do you know that he is your enemy if you just cannot even understand who he is? Why can't you know? Because you see the world externally. From material point of view, on bodily platform, you are Krishna Bahirmukh. Bahir means to see externally, to see, observe this external energy. And Mukha means you turn away from Krishna. You turn your Mukha, your face from Krishna, then how you can understand Krishna who is internal essence of everything? By seeing this external energy or being absorbed or being influenced by this external energy, you never can understand internal essence, that's Krishna, until you, of course, introspective. And Chaitanya Charitamrita Matsya Lila also explains this. Dekile nagdekitara bahirmukha jhana. So the jhana, this person, who is bahirmukh, who turned his face away from Krishna. Although dekile, although he may see the things, he doesn't see. He see, but he doesn't see. It's interesting. Therefore, tara dekile nadeke. Tara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be seen by such a person because he sees things externally. So this is the first disqualification, this first line. So Esha Atma Saparita Buddhibir explained the first disqualification of material intelligence to understand Krishna. That's avidya. What is the avidya? That's ignorance. And here, especially pointed out the two layers of this ignorance. That's raga and dvesha. So the ignorance has five layers. So raga and dvesha is explained here. Raga is attachment and dvesha is aversion. And I'm attached to whatever gives the pleasure to my senses and body, and I'm averse to whatever gives displeasure to my body. Therefore, I like the people who give pleasure to my body, and I don't like people who don't give the pleasure to my body, that the friends and enemies. So this kind of mentality or material intelligence, when it ascertained or tried to ascertain the spiritual things, he come to wrong conclusion, because all this raga and vesha creates this essential perception of external dualities like heat and cold or happiness, distress, or like this enemies and friends. So this is all false. This is all external. Therefore, internal things, internal essence, with such intelligence, one cannot ascertain. And then question arises. So that's the first disqualification of material intelligence. That's avidya. With avidya, or being in avidya, you cannot understand of the Lord. And then the question arises, is it difficult to understand the Lord only to the people who are in ignorance or too grossly situated in the matter of demons, like thinking in terms of parents and enemies? No. Even for the demigods who are in goodness, it's almost impossible to understand the Lord. It's another amazing thing. It's described in the third line, Muhyanti Yat Vartmani Veda Vadino Brahmadayo. All the demigods, starting from Brahma, Brahma Adi, starting from Brahma, they are Veda Vadi, they are knowers of the Vedas, they are followers of the Vedas, but they are Muhyanti. They are completely bewildered about Yat Vartmani, about this path leading to the Lord. What is this path? About the Bhakti Yoga. They are bewildered according to the principles, about the principles of Bhakti Yoga. And this is exactly the second disqualification of the material intelligence to understand Krishna. First was avidya, and now that's vidya. That's attachment to Vedic knowledge as a means to attain Krishna. So by the Vedic knowledge only you cannot attain Krishna, because he's a source of all knowledge. Therefore, he's above even the Vedic knowledge. Therefore, only by Vedic knowledge you cannot ascertain Krishna. So first disqualification, try to understand something internal aspects of the personality of God and internal reality by avidya or by material dualities. And the second disqualification, try to understand the Lord by vidya, by the Vedas, or by injunction of the Vedas only. So this two disqualification. So the Lord will not come into our understanding. It will not be given. He will not be given to our perception just by these two means. And this anartha of Lord Brahma is explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati when he described the anarthas of different lilas of the Lord. So Brahma Vimohana Lila, or bewilderment of Brahma, he says that main anartha which was shown by Brahma in this Brahma Vimohana Lila, this attachment to the mental concoctions in the development of knowledge. When one accepts as top knowledge the knowledge which is experienced by one's own senses or individual experience. Otherwise, if I don't experience this knowledge, then it doesn't exist for me. Even if it's said in the Vedas, so many things about Lord, I cannot accept because it's about the scope of my knowledge. Therefore, I cannot accept. This is exactly what Lord Brahma was thinking. This is a problem with him. He was thinking, I am all knowledgeable. And I have all possible experience of this reality, of this matter, of this universe, because after all, I am a creator of this universe, right? So whatever possible to experience, I experience, right? But the Lord is still above this. So even Brahma is bewildered about the Vartmani, about the path leading to the Lord. So even Brahma cannot ascertain the Lord. Therefore, he became skeptical to the principles of Bhakti Yoga. He couldn't serve the Lord. He couldn't give him pleasure in this Brahma Vimohana Lila. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this. Brahma was thinking, is it my Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the offerings of ghee, purified by mantra and offered in sacrifice? We know that one of the names of the Lord is Yajnabhog. He accepts only whatever is offered in yajna, purified by mantras and by ghee, the purified ghee. So, is it my Lord? This talkative, ignorant boy, absorbed in playing with his friends, scolding, praising, giving, and taking half-eaten food. That's Balakeli. That's childhood pastimes of the Lord. Thus, eating his lunch, is it him? Is it my Lord Krishna? So he cannot ascertain how this great personality as Lord Vishnu can come in the form of this talkative, ignorant boy, Krishna. Means it's not in the scope of my experience in my relationship with the Lord. Therefore, I cannot even accept this idea that Vishnu can come in such a form. So, avidya and vidya, that's impediments to understand the Lord. It's two impediments of material intelligence. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains further. Bewildered by the Lord's energy, Brahma stole the calves and boys created by Maya in order to see Krishna's power. He wanted to taste Lord Krishna. He wanted to compare actually his own power with the Lord's power. When I steal the boys and calves, will Krishna show some power, some wonderful pastimes? Will he look and find the cows by himself, or come to me and pray to get them back? Or will he not be able to understand anything? That Brahma is thinking about the power of ascertaining the thing, the reality of Vishnu. So he's completely bewildered about this personality of Vishnu, about the power of Vishnu, about the possibility of Vishnu to do everything and anything. Although he's a Vedavadi, he's a follower of Veda, and actually he got all the totality of Vedic knowledge from Krishna. It was just given to him in order to create, but still, having all this wonderful knowledge, he couldn't understand what is his duty now, how to please the Lord. So he tried to compete with him in power. So see that the extent of this bewilderment, even in the head of this universe. And after all, he is the head of our Sampradaya. But Acharya says that without this bewilderment, Brahma couldn't do these things. So the bewilderment should be very strong. And it had to come from Vishnu, just to show everyone the power of material energy, how it can completely eclipse even the reasoning ability of the creator of this universe. And it's confirmed in Madhya, Adilila, 695, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that's incarnation of Brihaspati. And Brihaspati, we know the Brihaspati, he's a priest, he's a master, yeah, spiritual master of the demigods. So sometimes the intelligence of Brihaspati in compared to that of Lord Rama. So he's so intelligent as Lord himself, this Brihaspati. See what he is saying? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is certainly a great, uncommon devotee, but we cannot accept him as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. That's Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saying. Because according to Shastra, there is no incarnation at this age of Kali. So whatever is not in Shastras, I cannot accept. Meaning, even the Lord in front of you, you cannot accept him because it's not written in the Shastras. It's complete bewilderment. And it's called Vidya. That's one of the material disqualification to understand the Lord, Vidya. To be attached to the injunctions of the Vedas in order as a means to understand the Lord. Then who is able to know the Lord? Okay, these two categories, they cannot understand the Lord. Neither demons, who think in the terms of friends and enemies, nor the demigods who attach to Vidya, they cannot. Neither by Vidya nor by Avidya you can understand the Lord. So who is able to know the Lord? Who is able to understand it? Who can really ascertain this spiritual reality of the Lord? What's the qualification to not understand it? It's given in the fourth line. Hyesha binati me matim. He Esha. Esha, this person, the same person whom we are speaking about, Esha Atma, the super soul in the heart. This Esha binati me matim. Me matim, my intelligence changed. Binati. May it different from the intelligence of these two above categories, from the demons and from the demigods. Meaning, unless this intelligence is changed and it's separated from the intelligence of demons as well as of the demigods, one cannot understand the Lord. So neither in the passion and ignorance of the demons, nor in the goodness of demigods, you can understand the Lord. So what is left? So what is the qualification? Yes, bhakti. Exactly. So something which above the modes of nature. Exactly. So Prahlada is speaking. The Lord, knowing my desire to understand him in full, who is Paramatma in the heart, has made my intelligence different from those of the two above categories, demons and demigods. Literally, he changed my intelligence. Here should be Nati Me Matim. Yes, this is a real qualification to understand the Lord, that bhakti, and it's confirmed by Krishna. Bhakti mama bijanati yavane shasmi tatataha. Only by bhakti one may know me in truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as I stay in front of you in your chariot or Arjuna. That's very famous verse. So, but bhakti, that's not material qualification to understand the Lord. Therefore, being non-material or transcendental, it requires something to get it. What is it? Mercy. And here, Srila Prabhupada says in the commentaries how to get this bhakti by the mercy of the Lord. So mercy is the must there to get bhakti. Otherwise, it's just impossible. Prahlada speaks, by changing my intelligence, he bestowed a great mercy upon me. So the mercy comes as a change of intelligence from external to internal, from matter to spirit. Why? Because by this, his mercy, I may know him now in truth. I am able to understand and to see him. To have bhakti means to see Krishna. To have bhakti means to understand Krishna. This is synonyms. Bhakti means to know Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada shows the difference between now changed intelligence of Prahlada Maharaj to spiritual one. Now, Prahlada Maharaj has spiritual intelligence. And what is the difference between the intelligence of these two above category? Prahlada Maharaj speaks, you think that Lord Vishnu is your enemy, but if it's so, then he would consider me his enemy as well. Why? Because I belong to your clan, right? So whom you consider yourself enemies of Vishnu, therefore I belong to your clan, then he supposed to consider me also as his enemy. But it's not happening, but instead he is favorable to me. Therefore, it's understood that he is not enemy but friend. Very kind friend of everyone. How enemy can be favorable, right? That means that he is not enemy, he is a friend. And thus he proved that with his own spiritual energy of his intelligence and of his bhakti, he can understand spiritual reality. And he can understand that the Vishnu is a kind and dear friend of everyone, not the enemy, of course. Sukhridam sarva dehenam, that Vishnu is a Sukhrit, a very dear, very close friend, which is in our heart. We have different kinds of friends. We have Mitra, we have Sakha, we have Sukhrit, that different state of consciousness is there in all these terms, but Sukhrit is most dear. Sukhrit is most close. Therefore, it's said to Krishna or Vishnu, he's a Sukhrit. He's most dear friend, not just some distant friend. And so is a pure devotee. As Vishnu is Sukhridam Sarva Dehinam, the same with a pure devotee, like Prahlad. He doesn't consider anyone as his enemy. Therefore, he is called Ajata Shatrava. Ajata Shatrava means he doesn't have any enemies. And it's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto. Titikshava Kurunika Sukhridak Sarva Dehinam, Ajata Shatrava Svanta, Sadavo Sadhu Bhushanaha. So he is a kind friend, Sukhridam Sarva Dehinam. He is a Sukhrit of all the living entities, Sarva Dehinam. And he is Ajata Shatrava. That's his Bhushana. That's his wonderful qualification which makes him Sadhu. That's his decoration. So what does it mean, actually? To not have enemies means you have to see their equality of all, the oneness of all. Otherwise, it's impossible. So that's another understanding of how you can come to the platform of not consider, not divide this world into friends and enemies. And the example of this Ajatashatrava is Yudhishthira Maharaj. Even despite of Duryodhana being so unkind to him, he has taken everything from him, he humiliated him, his brothers, and his wife. So whatever possible for Duryodhana to do to harm Yudhishthira was done, but still Yudhishthira was not considered him an enemy. So just the opposite, he is the one whose enemy was never born. That's how he is entitled in all the Vedic literatures. Once when the Pandavas were in the forest in exile, the Duryodhana wanted to have fun of the Pandavas, who were living very simple life and who were struggling actually to live this life in the forest because it was not even possible for them. So he came there, Duryodhana, with a gorgeous procession followed by, you know, the very beautiful palanquins with his wives and then his different attendants, his servants, his army, his chariots, his horses. All this procession were moving to the Pandavas in the forest. But what happened on the way, the Gandharvas caught him. The whole this procession was caught by Gandharvas. And someone just ran to Yudhishthira to inform that Duryodhana was caught by Gandharvas, and Bhima was so happy. Oh, finally, it's wonderful. It's the best I heard ever. And Yudhishthira said, no, no, because they are family. The ladies are there. You have to go, Bhima, and you have to save them. And then Bhima was not so much happy, but still he went there and he rescued Duryodhana and all his wife from the Gandharvas. That was Yudhishthira. So although his enemy was right in front of him, it was so good opportunity just to smash him, you know, by Gandharvas, but still he didn't go for it. It would be the end, just Duryodhana is smashed, Gandharvas captured him, so nothing to worry about. So there will be no even Kurukshetra war. But he is not like this. So this is Ajatashatrava. This is the best example of how to not divide world into friends and enemies. And this is a speciality of the spiritual intelligence, that the vision of oneness, all right? This is the vision of oneness, that everyone is one. And this is vision of Mahabhagavata. The Mahabhagavata sees why he doesn't divide according to attachment and diversion, because he sees oneness of everything and everyone. And it's explained in Ishapanishad. Ekatvam anupashitam. So ekatvam, that's oneness, and upashitam, to see. It said there that a devotee should see oneness of the living entities. See, there are three kinds of this oneness or ekatvam. First oneness through one master, Paramatma. The Paramatma is one. We all have one master, Paramatma. And it just situated in each and every body means we have the one master who treats us equally. Therefore, we are equal. We are one, having one master, because the master is one, we are in oneness having one master. And it's explained there in Ishapanishad, a devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be situated in everyone's heart. See the blessings. The devotee should see the Supreme Personality of Godhead seated or situated in everyone's heart. That's the greatest blessings actually, which comes from Shastras. Means we must to come to this level of Mahabhagavata. This is a blessing to become Mahabhagavatas. That's the first kind of oneness. And the second kind of oneness of interests in devotional service. as our family business. A devotee should also see every living entity as an eternal servant of the Lord. That's another kind of oneness, oneness of interests. Oneness doesn't mean that all these individuals become one homogeneous something, homogeneous solution. No, everyone keeps their individuality. We are all individual, but we are one as one family or nation. Right now, Srila Prabhupada explains this. Everyone is working for his personal sense satisfaction. But if everyone agrees that we shall satisfy Krishna, that is oneness. And when we serve Krishna, all of us, together, combinedly, that's our oneness, because we have one interest to please the Lord. This is oneness of the interests in devotional service, as one family. One family, one interest, right? All of us, we are one family because we have one master, and our business or family business, family interest to please this master. So this is second kind of interest. Interest of oneness, of interest. And the third one, oneness, it was the oneness between the living entities. But now we are one even with the Lord. There is a oneness between the Lord and the living entities. Mayavadi treats it differently, explains this oneness of the living entities and the Lord differently. But we are one in the sense that we have spiritual nature. We are one by spiritual nature. The nature of the Lord and the nature of the spiritual being, that's the same. We are spiritual by nature. But there is a difference in relationship. One is master and one is servant. This is a different. But Mayavadi says, no, all of us, we are God. He is God, we are God. We are equal. But it's not. So Vaishnava doesn't accept this concept. So for us, oneness in the platform of the spiritual identity. Yes, we are one. Quantitatively, we never equal to the Lord. Quantitatively, we are like one drop and the Lord is like an ocean. Quantitatively, we are one spark and the Lord as great fire. So the quantity. But quality, we may have up to 80% of the qualities of Krishna. Quantitatively, we are not the same, but qualitatively, we are the same with the Lord. 80% we can have. And how this difference in the intelligence of Prahlada Maharaj and all now this bhakti will manifest itself. It's very, very deep, very profound topic. How the bhakti in our intelligence will manifest itself. Prahlada explains this in the next text, because these two texts, this and the next, they're related, they're connected. One describes this material disqualification of material intelligence to understand the Lord, and another explains the qualification to understand the Lord, starting from this last line, Esha binati hematim, this Esha changed my intelligence. So how this change in intelligence will manifest, how bhakti will manifest. Prahlada explains this himself. Just as iron moves on its own toward a magnet, my consciousness moves on its own towards Vishnu and becomes spontaneously different from your consciousness. It does so on its own, not caused by pious karmas, austerity or charity. The meaning is this. The magnet, by its shakti, the shakti of magnet is called akarsha. That's ability to attract, that's akarsha. That's the power of this magnet. This akarsha attracts the iron. Enjoy it with it. And then the explanation of this analogy comes. Just as the magnet has its nature of attracting iron, Vishnu has its nature to attract all the living entities. Therefore, Krishna is called Krishna. Why he is Krishna? Because of this akarsh. Krishna karsha. That comes from the word karsh, or ability to attract. Therefore, he is all attractive. Because of this energy to attract, which emanates from him. That's so where is my independence in that? That's Prahlada Maharaj is asking. I'm not independent because I'm just pulled to the Lord by the power of his attraction. He's so attractive that I cannot restrain myself. I cannot impede. I cannot resist to this power. Therefore, I'm not independent. I'm just, you know, dragged to the Lord. So this verse is called Prayojana Vichar, the next verse, which we discuss now about the dragging by the magnet, the iron. So Prayojana Vichar, meaning this verse explains our Prayojana, our goal in life. And it's already Prema is explained. So this is our goal, to be attracted to the Lord as much as the iron attracted to the magnet. So this is the way the spiritual intelligence will come out. This is the way the spiritual intelligence will manifest ourselves. Our attraction to the Lord will be so tight, so strong, that we will be pulled, just pulled to the Lord without any impediments. That's the speciality of Premi Bhakta. They're naturally attracted to whatever connected to the Lord, either to kirtan or to beautiful forms of the deities. Whatever connected to the Lord, they are there, as the bees are coming to get the nectar of the flowers. So it coming naturally. And this akarsha, this ability to attract in Krishna, is the same for everyone. It's just an energy which emanates from him. But the ability to accept, to become the recipient of this akarsha is different for all the living entities. And it's explained by Krishna himself. It depends on our conditioned nature as well as the spiritual nature. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there are so many living entities and I maintain everyone. Therefore, I am equal as rain. But some trees watered by the rain give sweet fruits and others give bitter fruits. That is not a defect of the rain, the sweetness or bitterness of this fruit. It is their nature. It's not my attachment and aversion. I am rewarding equally. See? So this is the nature which defines actually the extent of attraction to Krishna. Either this sweet is given, the tree gives sweet fruits, that's divine nature. And either this tree gives bitter fruits, that's demonic nature. But it's about conditioned nature. But what about liberated state? About the devotees? Are we also influenced to different degree by this akarsha or attractiveness of the Lord? Yes. Even from rasa to rasa, actually, this akarsha or ability to accept this attractiveness to the Lord will be different. And it's increasing from rasa to rasa. From servitorship up to the conjugal relationship with the Lord, this ability to be attracted by the Lord is different according to already regained original nature of the heart. So this ability is there. Therefore, the devotees in Madhurya Rasa will be attracted to the Lord the most because it's the nature of this rasa. It has this ability to be attracted the most. Therefore, they will know Krishna the most. Because by bhakti, you will know me. There are different extents of bhakti, right? The bhakti is the same, but the different extents, the different levels of bhakti. Therefore, the devotees who has this spontaneous love of Krishna, very deep, very intimate, to them, Krishna will reveal himself more. Their knowledge about Krishna will be deeper. This is like general understanding of how bhakti or different level of bhakti connect to the knowledge of Krishna. And Krishna himself states this in Adipurana. The gopis know my greatness. He states this to Arjuna, not to anyone else, to Arjuna, his dearest friend, whom he revealed his everything, his very nature, his power. The gopi know my greatness, my loving service, respect for me and my mentality. Others cannot really know me. See, it's so deep. Only gopis. He speaks this to Arjuna, to whom he revealed even his universal form. Everything was there in the universal form. Whatever is knowledgeable is there in the universal form. Still, Krishna says, Partha, you don't know me. Whatever I show you, it's not my knowledge. It's not knowledge about me. It's not my greatness. Only them. Only gopis know my greatness. It's quite astonishing. So, that is a speciality of this spiritual intelligence. And what is this spiritual intelligence? How it's given? And it's also explained by Krishna in the 10th stanza, Bhagavad Gita. Tasham satata yuktanam, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mai upayantite. That's the condition under which Krishna sends, Krishna bestows this intelligence upon the devotee. Tasham satata yuktanam. To those who are constantly engaged in serving me with love, priti purvakam, love should be there. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. I am giving this buddhi by which they can understand me. And what is this buddhi? Okay, this is a condition, love and service. What is this buddhi? How it will be shown, like the intelligence? It's also explained in the next verse. Tesham evanu kampartam, aham agyana jamtam aham, nashayam yatma bhavasto, gyana dipena basvata. Oh, that's very deep. To show them special mercy, tesham evanu kampartam. Evanu kampartam means special mercy, to show them. So this spiritual intelligence, that special mercy of Krishna, it comes as a special mercy of Krishna. Aham agyana jamta mahanashayam, atma bhavasto. I enter their heart, atma bhavasto, to nashayam, to dissipate the tamas, or darkness which may remain there, darkness of what? Of agyana, of ignorance. By jnana dipena basvata. Jnana dipena, by the torch or light or lamp of knowledge. So Krishna comes into the heart to dissipate the remaining darkness there by the torch of knowledge. That's how our spiritual intelligence will be visible. Baladev Vidyabhushana explains actually what this knowledge is, because the knowledge is a vast topic actually. There are four kinds of knowledge. First, the knowledge which comes from knowledge gathering senses. That's anyone. I can see, I can hear, I can smell. So all this knowledge comes as knowledge, as information, right? That's the first level of knowledge. The second kind of knowledge comes from sattvagun. That's sattvagun knowledge, because there are two characteristics in sattva. I will know the knowledge and happiness. That's the two things which sattva-gun knowledge is prominent with. So naturally, the person who is in sattva-gun, he will know the things, because sattva-gun means the performance of one's duty. And when the one's duty are performed, then the knowledge will sprout from the performance of one's duty. It explains there is a lotus of dharma, or our duty, performance of our duty. And inside the stem of this lotus, there are some fine fibers. So these fine fibers are the knowledge. So if the person perform his duty, then the knowledge will naturally develop in the heart, because it's inbuilt quality of performing the duties or our dharma. So this is the second kind of knowledge, comes from sattva-gun. So in sattva-gun, person will know what is good, what is bad, what to accept, what to reject, naturally, what is good for me. And the third one, knowledge which comes from bhakti. This is already not material, but spiritual knowledge. And this is also very special, because there are two byproducts of our bhakti, of our devotional service. One is jnana, and another is vairagya. So Srila Prabhupada once told that When you're pure devotee, you will remember everything what I told you. That means naturally the devotee will know everything, because the chit potency, when it's regained, when it's restored in the heart, will give understanding of everything. So that's the nature, inbuilt nature of our heart to know. This is a spiritual knowledge coming from bhakti. And there is fourth kind of knowledge which is given only by Krishna. Only Krishna can give this knowledge. And what is this? That's this jnana dipena basvata. That when Krishna comes into the heart, which is explained in this verse, which we study now, 10-11, and by the lamp of this knowledge dissipates the darkness. So what is this knowledge? It's explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In my transcendental personal form, I reveal my qualities. So Krishna comes, when he comes, Atma Bhavasto, when he becomes situated in our heart, he comes in personal form. That's the first thing. We will see him. We will see this personal form that's happening on the level of Bhava. And in this transcendental personal form of mine, I reveal my qualities. So when form is there already of Krishna, then the qualities of this form will be visible for us, right? I see you. I see your qualities, the qualities of your form. So there are three kinds of qualities of Krishna. The qualities of the form, the qualities of the speech or voice, and the qualities of the character or the mind. So all of them, they will be visible when Krishna enters. And this shining lamp of knowledge of these qualities, I destroy the darkness of ignorance, which obstruct true knowledge. So is not it true knowledge? Krishna already reveals the knowledge of his form. He reveals the knowledge of the qualities of this form. And still, he says that it's just a lamp to dissipate darkness, which obstructs the real knowledge. Some different knowledge is there. So, there is the knowledge of the form, there is the knowledge of the qualities. So what is left then? What Krishna considered true knowledge? Lila, right. So that's what Krishna considers true knowledge, and that's what he comes to reveal to us. Why the lilas are revealed in heart to enter? When we are eligible to join him, everything there in the heart will be revealed. That's like a door open for what? To enter. That means we are eligible to enter. And here it's also amazing thing. Hankering for things other than me will dissipate with this my appearance in the heart. Meaning, whatever was dragging us out of Krishna, away from Krishna, will be dissipated, will be crushed only by this darshan of Krishna. The last limit of our material desires, the smell of this material desires will go with the darshan of Krishna in the heart. And Krishna so much wants everyone to get this highest attraction to him, this akarsha of the inhabitants of Raja, this ability to be attracted to the Lord. So much so that even Prahlada Maharaj, who is a Vishnu Bhakta, we know that our Narasimhadeva, because we worship Madhava, so that's Madhava who accepts this form to protect the devotees. But for Prahlada Maharaj, Narasimhadeva is Vishnu. Therefore, he is Vishnu Bhakta, not Krishna Bhakta. He is Vishnu Bhakta, that's four-armed Lord in the heart. So he got this Aishwarya Gyana Prema when he understand the Aishwarya or the features of the wealth or greatness of the Lord. Still, Narasimhadev told him, my dear boy, it's interesting. That's last which I want to. My dear boy, just please go to Vraj. This Narasimhadeva instruct Prahlada Maharaj, just go to Vraj and stay at Govardhan and worship me by meditating on my lilas as Avihari Krishna. So it's something very amazing that Krishna wants us the greatest. Krishna doesn't want us even to stay as his Vishnu Bhaktas. He wants to give the highest perception of the reality of his relationship. So now Prahlad Maharaj, he is Govardhan. At Puchari, the tail of Govardhan, and at Puchari, by Apsara Kunda, he's worshipping Krishna there. So for what? To become Krishna devotee. To experience this highest rasa. Alright? The same happened with Brahma, who was so bewildered. We just read. He is in Vidya, but still this Vidya is an impediment for him to understand Krishna. So Brahma was asking the Lord, please give me the chance, another chance just to please you, to understand the truth about devotional service. So he came as Haridas Thakur. And he got the highest, Anarpita Charim Charam, Karunayava Tirnah Kalo, Samarpaitam, Unnata Ujjala Rasa, Svabhakti Shriya. This Unnata Ujjala Rasa, that gift, which is available only in our Sampradaya, and it was brought by Lord Chaitanya. Anarpita Charim Charam, the gift which was never, ever given before. And this is an advantage to be the member of our Sampradaya, because this highest relationship with the Lord in Madhurya Rasa is available only here. And we can build them up if just by our spiritual understanding we ascertain the highest reality of this relationship, the highest benefit to have this relationship. Because by this relationship we may know the Lord in truth. So this is Haridas Thakur. So Brahma came as Haridas Thakur, and he was bestowed the highest mercy, the greatest mercy, the Gaura Prema, the Vraja Prema of the Gopis, also Vraja, which is brought by Lord Chaitanya. So that's our heritage, that's our family heritage. And if you're eligible, we can easily get it here. So thank you so much. I would like to end in this. Time is up. If you have some questions or comments. I just have a question. So what is the first disqualification we discussed today of the material intelligence to understand Krishna? Avidya. What is the second disqualification to understand Krishna?
Vidya.
Vidya, knowledge. Okay. And what is the qualification to understand Krishna?
Of the Lord.
I cannot hear.
Bhakti.
Bhakti, yes. Bhakti. Yes. Yes, that's bhakti. Okay. Thank you so much.
Question.
Yes.
Madhi, you said that
can you speak louder?
You said that that in Brahma was bewildered. When Krishna came, Brahma analyzed that this was not in his experience. I have a question that Brahma is a guru in our guru parampara. Brahma is a guru in our guru parampara, and Krishna comes every day. Krishna comes once in every day of Brahma, and Krishna always repeats the pastimes. Then how come Brahma didn't? Is how can Brahma was able to analyze that he didn't experience all these things?
He experiences in samadhi. Yadapi samadhi shuvidarapi pashati. Brahma is always engaged in trance of samadhi. He's always absorbed in trance of samadhi. He's always meditating on the Lord. So we know how he created, right? All the knowledge, how did he receive it from the Lord? It came from the flute of Krishna. So all the knowledge was given in the heart of Brahma. We remember this, right? So it was given by the Lord into the heart. And by the mercy of the Lord, Brahma could see the Krishna with all his entourage, with all the different multiple energies of the Lord. You remember, in trance he saw the Lord. It was the vision he could see. He got this darshan of the Lord. He got the darshan of Vishnu. The Vishnu and his different energies before he started to create. It's explained in Brahma Samhita. So the relationship are there, and they are very intimate, the relationship between the original creator and the secondary creator. So without this relationship, the Brahma cannot create. Right? So he has to understand what is given to him, from whom it's given to him. because he is directly the son of Vishnu. So as son of Vishnu, born out of the lotus of the stem of Vishnu, of the body of Vishnu, he is directly connected to Vishnu through different means, through the heart, and the demigods cannot understand what to do. They come to Lord Brahma, and Brahma in meditation, like, comes to the shore of the milk ocean and meditate on the Lord, and the Lord revealed him. That's a revelation. That's a matter of, you know, the heart matter, the purity of the heart. So the darshan of Krishna is always there in Brahma's heart. So he has this experience of the relationship. It's not necessary for him to see him in person.
Then how he got bewildered that this Krishna is not my Supreme Lord?
Yes, because he saw him in full opulence, in full greatness. When the darshan is given, when he comes to the milk ocean, he sees Vishnu in the heart. He's praying to him, and the darshan of Vishnu is there. He see the Vishnu speaks to him in his form, right? In his personal form, he enters the heart of Brahma. I mean, he reveals himself, but it's full greatness. It's Aishwarya of him. He knows Vishnu as Aishwarya person, a person who is full of greatness, the wealth, like this. But he doesn't know the aspect of Madhurya of Krishna. Because this aspect of Madhurya is higher than the experience that he got in his relationship with Vishnu, the relationship of Aishwarya, based on offend reverence. But Krishna showed him Madhurya, which he was not aware of. He didn't know that Madhurya aspect of the Lord is there in the personality of God. Therefore, he came to Navadvip as Brahma Haridas to study it, that the Madhurya aspect is higher, and he got this Vraja Prema, which is based on Madhurya, the understanding of the sweetness of the Lord. Is it okay? So thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Grantarachi Madhbhagavatam Kija, Srila Prabhupada Kija, Gaura Premananda.